This is Rancho Marietta Community Service District's monthly regular meeting for security, January 7th, 2021 at 10 a.m. Item number two, do we have any public comments? Amelia, do you have any hands raised?
I do not have any hands raised and I don't have any chats.
Perfect, thank you. Moving on to item number three, this is monthly updates, starting with operations.
So let me start off by introducing to everybody attending the meeting, Tina Talamantes, who is working for the district as a part-time CalPERS annuitant and a retired annuitant. And she's come in and really started to put some of her skills into our environment. And Tina will be with us until further notice at this time. We're got some other things going on with security that we're working on. So welcome, Tina, and good luck with your presentation.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. I'm Tina Talamantes. I'm working as a retired annuitant with the district, getting things on track and getting some things done that needed to be done while the prior chief was out. So I come from the city of Stockton. I retired in 2019 and I was there for 28 years and I retired at that time. So it's interesting.
Your last assignment with the city of Stockton was as a watch commander lieutenant.
Yeah, I was a police lieutenant. I worked everywhere from personnel and training to strategic operations. And my best one was watch commander. That was my favorite, which was field, being in the field with everybody, motivating everyone. So far, since I've been here, we've hired a new gate officer, Zach Brady. He's almost done with the training program. Is that right, Rick?
Yes.
I have Rick Tompkins here, our sergeant. And we're still currently looking at recruiting for patrol officers. I did get some applications and I have a couple of prospects that look pretty good, and I'm reaching out to other agencies as well to see what we can do. I also have another prospect for a gate officer that is actually in the process of getting hired. She just has to go through with the fingerprinting and the background check and everything else. So I've also done one-on-ones with staff to see things that are needed and what their views and ideas are of how we can make things better. So I've gotten some great ideas and we're working on that with them. And it's just little things from like getting some supplies or keyboards or, you know, just things to help them out with their jobs. So I'm working with them on that as well as with Sergeant Tompkins on that. For other things, we've replaced the south entry security gate. That's complete. And we have a new arm on order as a backup. The Lago Drive entry gate is complete. And are there any issues right now with it?
The new gate arm is for the Lago Drive that we have on order. And as soon as it comes in, we'll be able to repair that. And it should be completely back into 100% function.
All right. And then we've done some maintenance of the safety center repair. We're looking at repairs of the restroom and the HVAC. That was done, but we're still having some issues with that. Let's see. Back to the recruitment. We've also put out a banner at the north and south gates. I went out there and put those up to see if any residents, anybody would be interested. And with that, I did receive a couple of applications. I'm hoping it's from that. I'm not sure though. So if anybody has any ideas of anybody that would be interested, that would be great. Just let me know as well. Going down to the Ford Ranger for patrol use, we're installing safety equipment for that. We just have one more item we need to order with them to be able to do that. So we have a new vehicle out there. Well, older, but newer vehicle. And we have an expected completion for the new body-worn cameras. Hopefully this month. We're still waiting on those body cams. We've tested it and it's been fine so far. Is that correct, Rick?
Yes, so far no issues. We did have one programming issue with retention of date and time on the camera. The manufacturer has given me a couple adjustments to try, and we're going to see if that solves the problem.
And then with that, I have reviewed the body-worn camera policy, and I have some expected changes to come up for that in the next couple of months to be presented at the security committee. And then back upwards to additional PDF staff to support security gate and patrol. We are currently using PDF security patrol to assist with vacancies that we have and to supplement our gate and patrol officers right now. And that seems to be working out okay for now, but it's just a matter of getting people hired for that, for those positions that are open. We do have a couple of reports for denied gate entries as well as regular gate entries. It's in the packet. So on the denied gate entries.
Would you like to skip down to that?
Yeah.
Okay, very good.
So we'll take a look at the
denied gate entries. So this is one of the new reports. This is the new report.
And this is December 1st through the 31st. Not too many denials, basically. We get a lot of people that want to come through Rancho Murrieta and just look. So the other ones are just things like if they're, what was it? I can't remember what the other ones were, but there were a couple of denied entries. There's some that are the resident refuse, vendors after hours, get a few of those. And then if people want to come in, there's no answer with the residents to confirm whether the person can come in or not. Any questions on that?
Tina, this is Tim. Yes, I have. This is using the current database that we have?
Yes, that's correct. That's
okay.
Database.
So, and we might have a offline conversation, but this is what I was looking for last time we met. This gives us some additional information that we've got to then provide to RMA so that they get a bigger picture of what gate services and really how can we maneuver some of this to where it's more automated type of thing. Again, kind of tying it into the vendor usage with barcodes that you and I have chatted about. So thank you for doing this.
Sure, no problem.
And I do have a comment. Would you like to take that comment now?
Sure.
Mr. Gears?
Yes, the denied entries used to be on the security log so that anytime somebody was denied entry, you know the time and date, et cetera. Is there any intention to put that back on the security log, or is this just the summary report?
That was actually a matter of adjustment with our new system. The old system, we did the handwritten refusal, and then it was typed into the daily logs. Now that we are implementing the new computer system, it's all about just working with the writers to adjust the program so that we can add that to it, and it'll become part of the regular log as we put it out.
Okay, thank you.
To follow up with that, to go a little bit further, that was a good question. And what we're finding is none of this has really been worked on. So we don't know what data we're collecting and what data we can produce. With that, probably I would say for the next 6 months, it's going to be, we're looking at data. Is it worth us trying to run the data, drill down, or how we provide it, either in summary or the actual individual items of case? So what you're going to see, and this is for the general public, is we're going to be throwing different types of reports out there until we can really figure out what do we know to be true, and then how can we auto-generate these. So I understand the question, Mr. Gear, and we're just going to have a lot of variance in what our data reporting capturing process is going to be. So thank you, Tina. Continue on.
All right, and the next slide is the gate entries by type. Bring that up again. So this is basically a count between the north and south gate, and then the count by pass type of all the entries. Apparently the total entries are down, and it's basically due to the pandemic situation, because apparently we have way more entries into the north and south gates under normal conditions. So especially during the month of December for Christmas and break and all of that. So, and then you can see there's construction, vendor, only one special event, the country club, real estate, yes, and construction. Any questions on that?
Nope. Looks good. Thank you.
All right, and
so do you want to jump back up and talk, go back to this guy?
So the next one would be the policy reviews.
And what? Do you want to policy? Okay.
Okay, so let's see. All right, so within the packet, we have a policy review for the custodian of records. You will see in there that.
So we'll talk about that when we get there. Finish. Yeah.
I'll talk about that when we get down to that part of the agenda.
Okay.
So we'll go down to the Rancho Murrieta Association. Bear with me on this.
She's doing great. First time.
So we continue to work with the RMA leadership on a regular basis. We want to improve our level of service and live within our budget and everything. So we are working on our general calls for service. We work on the golf carts and underage driver enforcement. And how often do we do that or see that, Rick?
It's a daily active on normal patrol. Anytime that we see it, we try to set up and do spot checking on certain stop signs. It's a little bit hard. Most usually those occur randomly as we're patrolling, makes it a little more difficult. I do a large majority of the radar because the LIDAR gun works best during daylight hours. So it mostly falls on my shift, but I try to do at least some on the south and the north at least a few times a week and mixed in with my other duties.
And we're still doing the general non-architectural enforcement. And one of the other things that was requested before was the fire safety issues for quick access in the south areas. So Sergeant Tompkins assessed the area. He marked the key points for entry, access, and four checkpoints in the back area with the longitude, latitude points. And then he turned everything over to the coordinator for the mapping. It's supposed to be in the development of the final checkpoint signs to be installed when the mapping is completed. So good job on that. He's been working on that. Murrieta Village activity, the village entry cameras still under contract, run electrical to poles. We're still working on that. Paul is managing that project. We're still doing our regular patrol activities on that out there. And we have the usual medical calls for service out there. And then down to the Rancho Murrieta Commercial Owners Association activity. We're installing two surveillance cameras on Murrieta Drive. It's been delayed, it's under contract, run the electrical again. Paul's in charge of that. We're setting up a meeting with the association south of the highway, and we're supposed to meet hopefully on a Monday or Tuesday this coming month here in January. We're just trying to set that up right now. And then we're looking at reinstating a program for issuing county citations for parking, handicap, and fire zone violations. We're setting up a meeting with Lieutenant McCullough with the Sheriff's Department to get the updates on county citations, fee schedules, things like that. He's not available at the moment, but when he is, hopefully after next week, he said, we will meet with him and take a look at that. Any questions on that?
Yes, Tina, when we set up the meeting with the lieutenant, if we could agendize it and then for the other items that you and I were going to discuss with them, so maybe we can just get it all knocked out in one meeting.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you.
All right. And on one of the pages, we have the Rancho Murrieta Association violation summary report, if you could bring that up.
Yep. To me, Leanne.
And so you're going to see it January through December.
There you go.
So it's for the entire year 2020.
Let's get down to the total off. It's interesting.
Yeah, so total violations written by us are 461. So the month of December, we had a total of 23, including speeding, parking, the park hours, curfew. That's interesting because that one is up from the previous months. And then other miscellaneous ones. Any questions on that? Okay. All right, and so the next part will be the incidents of note.
Amelia, that's on page 3.
There we go.
There we go. Okay, so we have the incidents of note, the big one. So there were some potted roses that were stolen. Photos were distributed throughout patrol to try to locate the vehicle. And we'll work with them when we set up our commercial meeting to see what else we can do with them. Basically on crime prevention. So you'll notice on December 3rd, there was a break in the buoy line at Chesbro. We have this wanted poster because we found out the culprit was an otter that chewed through the line. And Amelia, do you want to show the video of it?
The
video is at nighttime. So we installed cameras out there because we weren't sure why the lines were broken or being chewed through or whatever happened to them. And we found, well, looks like it might be an otter.
Oh, it's gonna come up right over here. There
There's
he is.
The culprit right there.
There he is.
That looks like the Loch Ness Monster to me.
Well, at least we've got our mystery solved, finally.
And thank goodness for the cameras. That's important to keep the security of our
and there he is
out there.
So if anybody sees this guy, give us a call. Or call animal control with the county.
Oh, okay. Here, wait. I'm
all right. So then we had, if you could scroll down a little
yes.
bit more.
Mm-hmm.
So it looked like we had a vandalism and theft at a new construction site on Cantova Way on December 11th, but we found that it was actually a burglary, and Sergeant Tompkins did an excellent job in investigating this and identifying suspects on this and turning it over to the Sheriff's Department. So the Sheriff's Department has it in their hands now, and they are working on the reports and what they're going to do with it to bring it to justice, basically. So he did an excellent job with that on getting all the evidence for it and everything else. And that's all we can say about it because now it's in the Sheriff's Department hands. Any questions on that one? All right. And we have another one on December 25th, Merry Christmas to us. We got an abandoned vehicle call at Lake Calero, which is our drinking water lake. Chief Plant Operator Travis responded, Sergeant Tompkins responded, and the vehicle was close to being in the water, but it was stuck in the mud and it was just left overnight, basically. It's outside of the HOA boundaries, but within our district boundaries. CHP did respond. They were going to tow the vehicle out of there, but then the owner of the vehicle showed up with their own tow to bring it out of there. It was inspected by the chief plant operator. There was no contamination in the mud or anything like that, because we know the water line does move up as it rains and all of that. So, and that's what we have for that.
Ready for the picture? Can you
show the picture of it? So that's the picture of the vehicle. Really, they had no business being down there. The area is not posted with signs or anything for that. Because the water is ours, but it looks like, and
where the vehicle is sitting right now, the water levels are low in the lake. And they're actually about 25 feet beyond the normal water line. So any contamination there would seep into the water once the levels rise back to normal.
But Travis assured us that there was no contamination that he could see, or that he could find, him and another employee.
Tina, this is Tim. I have a question.
Yep.
Tom, this is probably directed towards you. I saw where there was no citation due to the HOA boundary. I may or may not disagree with that. There was a cost for us to participate in this process. So, and we can have further discussion, but I want you to think about reimbursement of our expenditures for this process. I have no idea whether they're a resident or not. It doesn't really matter. But I would think that we would have follow up with the vehicle owner that there's a cost that was incurred by the district on multiple levels. And then I would also think that the district has its own policies of being on district property hours, et cetera, et cetera. And I would think that we would explore that before we close out this incident. Just my thoughts.
Okay, we will definitely look into that and do what we can.
Yes, and we do have the district water code under section 3.17, the Lake Reservoir Use Regulations. It does show that wastes are prohibited in the lakes and reservoirs. No person shall discharge or cause to be discharged any of the following wastes, which includes gas, fuel, other flammable explosive liquid or gas or anything like that. So we do have a code, because I checked with Paul on that in regards to this. So
Again, we can have some more conversation. We don't need to take up staff time on this, but I would think this is, to me, very egregious. Obviously, it was done intentionally. It wasn't like they took a path that is a normal traveled path. So with that said, those are my thoughts. We can discuss it further, but great job by all involved to mitigate it.
And we'll work on some solutions for that as well. Maybe getting it posted out there if we can, and education so people understand that's our drinking water. And a lot of people don't realize that, or they claim that, you know, they don't know that it's drinking water, things like that. So.
Well, and Tina, you're absolutely right. And as we move through this process, obviously there's violation of association stuff because it was there overnight. So park hours, et cetera, et cetera. I just think before we close it out, we should probably look at all of our options. Thank you. That's all I have.
Okay. All right, and the full narrative is attached, all the cases that we have in the system, that is all attached. There are several pages to this, you will see.
I want to chime in for a quick second. There's been discussion recently that, this is Tom Hennig, by the way. There's been some discussion recently that we're not providing case information on a regular basis, and that we're just calling out attention to certain incidents. And so we did that again with the incidents of note that you just saw, but we also decided to just, in the security committee, to just post last month's cases. They get posted on our webpage every week, but for the sake of those who just want to go straight to the security agenda and view the cases, we're going to post them all here as well. We're not going to post these 55 pages worth of incidents as part of the regular board meeting from this point forward. I provided them last board meeting as an example, and upon thinking about it further, I think the committee is the best place to display these as an entire group and just point people to the webpage if they want to get, you know, what happened last week. So is that all right with you, Tim, if we do it that way?
Absolutely. Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. So you can just scroll through these. If anybody has any questions, they've had the opportunity to look at these over the past few days. Otherwise, we'll just take any other questions.
Any questions on those?
I have no chats, no hands raised.
Good. Go down to page 56. Tim, are you ready to move on?
Yes, please.
This is my item.
Item number 5?
No, number 4.
Thank you very much.
So this is a discussion right now, and I'm just letting the committee know that when we hire somebody, the last step in the hiring process is to run fingerprints through the state and federal databases. So we send people to the Sheriff's Department fingerprint identification system unit in Rancho Cordova, where they get fingerprinted. And then the fingerprints are run through the state's fingerprint database, and then they get also run through the federal fingerprint database to determine if there's anything that would prevent us from wanting to hire this person. In order to review those records, we have to log into the state system under the custodian of records. And it turns out that in order to be somebody who's authorized to log into the state system, we have to check a box on the form that we have a policy for what we do with those records. We did an exhaustive review of our current policies, and we looked through file cabinets, and we could not find anywhere where the district had a policy specifically identified for the management of these fingerprint responses. So we put this policy together. It's actually delaying us from bringing a person on board right now because we can't see what their results were. So we put this forward as a policy to adopt, and we need to take this to the board and get board approval. And that way we can set it up so the general manager and whoever the general manager designates to review these criminal offender records, we can do it going forward. So this is some cleanup that we talk about we're trying to do on a regular basis. If we see a problem, we fix it. And this is that. This is something that we need to fix. So if there's any questions, we can answer them. And if not, I would ask that we get approval to take this to the regular board meeting.
I understand. I think it looks great. Thank you. The only thing I didn't see in here, Tom, is what you talked about, and that is it's the general manager and/or designee. And I don't think we have to designate that unless it's required at the state level. But unless I missed that, otherwise that would be the only addition. But it looks fine. And yeah, let's move it to the board, please.
What number are you seeing? It's right there. It's right at the top there. General manager or their designee, custodian of records.
Question answered. Very good. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Okay, thank you for recommending moving that to the board.
All right.
So that concludes item number four. Amelia, any hands or any questions?
I have a chat. Perfect. It is from Mr. Les Clark. Any policy relating to electronic copies?
That's a good question. We can do that research. I don't recall seeing anything that addresses electronic copies of records. We don't need to look right now. We can.
I would say that's an offline item from that standpoint. Thank you. Going to item number five, staff comments.
I've got a couple things, Tim.
Sure, please.
I want to say we received notification last Thursday that Chief Werblum, who has been on a personal leave for the last 6 months, has tendered his resignation from the district effective January 13th. Jeff actually has moved to Texas in his hiatus. So we wish him the best. And right now we have Tina Talamantes, who's helping us with security, and that's going to remain that way indefinitely until we've had the opportunity to take a look at security as a whole. And there's a big discussion around security as in general. That so right now we're going to solidify the department with Tina, and if anybody has any questions related to security, they will go through her. Secondly, I want to announce that we have a permit in the loop. And when there's big events in and around the district, we require the event people to send us a form and identify who the primary people are and what's the purpose of the event. So there's a big event coming on this weekend at the Equestrian Center and the hotel, both of which are private property, but they're within the district footprint. And the event's called the Public Policy Conference. And there's a group called Reopen California Now that is putting on this event, and it's going to be from 1 to 200 people max. And this is really no different than the number of events they have throughout the year at the Equestrian Center. So we don't expect there to be any impact on the district, but I just want to let let Director Mabee and anybody else who's listening know that we're aware of the event, and we do not anticipate anything serious to happen. I do know that they've included off-duty sheriffs. They're paying off-duty sheriffs to provide added security, which is pretty common on larger events. And so we're aware of it, and we'll just include it as part of our regular patrol duties to kind of just pay attention to what's going on over there. Are there any questions for that?
I do have a hand raised. Go ahead, Mr. Gere.
I was just wondering, what is CSD's role in this? You just received the information, and basically you're not approving or disapproving it. Because I've heard concerns about it's going to be a COVID super spreader event, and some people are unhappy about it.
Well, they go through the county. They submitted their form to the county and got it approved by county. I'm looking at it right now. From Sac County Health Department. So our role is there is no different than when there's a big horse event. We let our officers know, or patrol officer know, that there's something going on over there, and to try it on a regular basis to include it as part of their regular patrol duties.
So your role is neither an approval or disapproval. You just have to deal with it.
We're just acknowledging that that we're aware of it, and that we'll let our patrol people know to, you know, keep an eye on things as part of the regular duties. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Richard.
Very good, Tom. Anything else from staff?
I just want to welcome Tina aboard. She's doing a really good job so far, and bringing her skills and what she's accustomed to in a public safety environment to Rancho Marietta. It's a real asset moving forward.
Thank you. I only have a couple of things. I would like to echo what Tom said. I've met with Tina a couple of times. And the breadth of knowledge and just common sense is going to be greatly used here within the community. The other thing, Tom, and I don't know if you and I have discussed this, so it appears we're discussing it now. Probably starting February, we'll have Tina start going to the RMA compliance meetings, getting that process back on track. So we'll spend probably a little bit of time, the three of us offline, getting the expectations of what we need versus what RMA needs so that we can get all that process back on track, like I said. The other is, and I apologize because it kind of overlays into finance, and due to my work requirements, I didn't listen to the finance committee, but I know that we got to start moving forward, probably bring Tina in on as we go for the opinion poll for how we're going to look at the referendum for security. So I think that's probably the next big, one of the big ticket issues, excuse me, that we're going to have with security is just kind of bringing that all in. And I know Director Merchant's involved with that. So that's kind of back on to me. And Tom, I'll get a hold of you later this week to kind of start getting that game plan together so we can move it forward this calendar year. Other than that, I would like to thank staff as always. We're getting there. People are seeing the reporting system is more robust than we've ever used in the past. And I think the thing I appreciate most that I'm seeing out of staff is the consistency. And once we get the consistency, then we can start meeting the expectations and defining those and those types of things. So with that, Amelia, do you have any other hands?
No.
Okay. Staff, thank you. We're going to adjourn the meeting. I've got it at 10:40 on Thursday. Everyone have a good day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, and Happy New Year.